Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Posts from NoParish.com, John 424 Radio. I am back at it, ready to get back into Jude. We went through 1 verses 1 through 5 last time. We're going to start with verses 6 and go through 10 today. You can catch up. Go to NoParish.com. Look for the verse-by-verse tab. You can find all the studies I did on Matthew. Now we're working on Jude. And you can catch up and get caught up here. So let's get right at it, starting with the book of Jude, verse 6 through 10. Remember, Jude is basically talking all about false teachers. And we're going to get right at it. Jude, verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. All right, so let's talk about this. He's talking about the angels which kept not their first estate. What angels is he talking about? Estate, arch. It means their ordered place or role. This clearly is a reference to the fallen angels that sided with Satan when he rebelled against the Father. And the role that God had for them, they rebelled and they fell from their estate, their assigned role. And he says, Jude says, they left their habitation. This is their dwelling place. So what would have been the dwelling place of the angels that God created to serve him? Well, they left that role to become united with Satan and his rebellion. And how do we know this? People say, well, how do you know that the angels rebelled with Satan? Well, Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we know that angels went with him. It wasn't him alone just rebelling against the Father. Peter gives us some insight on this as well. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So remember we talked about in the beginning of the first study in Jude that 2 Peter and Jude kind of go well together. They mention a lot of the same things. Jude also says preserved in everlasting chains. Now, we don't know exactly what this means. But we do know in the Gospels, we see that demon spirits were active, possessing people. Jesus was casting them out, so were the disciples. So they're still active. They're not all tied up in chains. We can't know for sure. Can't say dogmatically. Perhaps it could be like it was with Job, that Satan and his demons are limited and God only allows them to do certain things. Can't be dogmatic on that. But we know that there is demon activity. But we also know that they're held in chains for judgment to come. That judgment is going to be, we read about it in the end of Revelation, in the end of days. Jude mentions judgment. We know that the devil is going to be judged and sent in the pit with his angels. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So there's a judgment coming. Satan and his demons are going to lose. They do have a time and a season, but they will lose. And that's what Jude is talking about here. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. All right, so Brother Jude mentioned Sodom and her sister city. And we all know what happened there. God destroyed them with fire and brimstone because of their sins. We'll talk about that. And he says they gave themselves over to fornication. This word specifically is like whoring about, sexual sin. All right, so we know that Sodom was guilty of the sin of sodomy, homosexuality. They had other sins too. We'll deal with that in a minute. And then he talks about strange flesh, heteros. And it means other, uncertain, altered, or not natural, unnatural. So what we can put together from this is they went and they used their bodies in a unnatural fashion, homosexual sin. It was outside what God had created for man and woman to come together, men and men and women and women. And Paul talks about that. We'll read a verse about that in a little bit. They're using their bodies in a way that God did not create it to be done. Strange flesh. Now, some people have said strange flesh could also be a reference to those men in Sodom wanted to have sex with the angels. All right. Genesis 19:5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Some people have said, well, they didn't know they were angels. How could it be strange flesh? That's just a comment that people have said. Also, strange flesh, some people have said, alludes to the sons of God that we read about in Genesis. And some people say these were angels that came down and had sexual relations with humans. I'm not going to go into that. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I've heard people talk about that strange flesh in that manner as well. So strange flesh has varied possible meanings. It talks about that he gave them, they gave themselves over. God gives men over too. We know that, don't we? I talked about what Paul would say in talking about homosexuality. Romans 1:24-27. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto vile afflictions, for even their women did change a natural use to that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Yeah. So that could be the strange flesh that Brother Jude is talking about. But also, when I think of strange flesh, I think of strange fire. So something that's out of order, not natural, not what God ordained. How about the two priests in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, 1 and 2? And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. And when he commanded them not, which he commanded them not, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. I think of that in strange flesh because they were consumed by fire in Sodom, and these guys were consumed by fire. They both were doing what the Lord had them not do, not to have sexual perversion, not to bring strange fire. And then Jude mentions they were made as examples in that verse. Yeah, this is like Pharaoh and many other evil people. God uses them to warn others. Right, we can be good examples, and we can also be bad examples, right? Jesus himself used Sodom as a warning. Mark 6:11, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust from under your feet as a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Did you catch that? So as I go and street preach, I mean, if we can assume this is for God's people, as we go and street preach, or you witness somewhere, if people reject you and throw the gospel out, Jesus said it's going to be worse for them than for Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know why? Because the Spirit is here to convict. The Word is here. Christ has already come. Sodom was in a total different time of greater spiritual darkness. Today, no one has any excuse to know who Christ is and to know what God's word is. Amen? Absolutely. What a grave warning. It'll be worse for them than Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom was destroyed by fire and brimstone. How can it get any worse? That's a fearsome thing to think about. Then Jude says, they suffered the vengeance of. Well, this is a good point to make. God is love. We know God's love, but he's also vengeance and justice. That word vengeance means justice, or excuse me, means judgment and punishment. God is going to punish all willful, unrepentant sin. He has to. Otherwise, he's not holy, just, and righteous. Amen? Think about that. That shows the goodness and the severity of God that I always preach about. And then Jude mentions eternal fire. That would be the hell. We just read that from Revelation. They'll be thrown in the pit. You know, I ran into a guy the other day in the streets telling me that hell's not eternal. Jude says it is eternal. Ahenos. It means without end. Yeah, Jesus talked about eternal fire as well. So we know that our souls live forever. We know that heaven is forever. It makes sense that hell would be forever as well. I mentioned about the sins of Sodom. I always like to tell this to people. I preach this in the streets a lot when I warn people about Sodom and Gomorrah. And then I tell them, you know, God destroyed them for more than just their sodomy and their lesbianism. Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity or sin of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. She was selfish. She was full of pride, full of bread, and sexual sin. Sounds a lot like America, doesn't it? Yeah, and a lot of other countries as well. England, Australia, Canada. Yeah, the world is in a wicked, wicked place today, is it not? Verse 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. All right, so Brother Jude mentions filthy dreamers. You know, God in the past has used dreams with his people. In the book of Joel 2, it says he's going to do it again in the future, in the last days. He's going to use dreams to reveal things to people. What do these men do? They're filthy dreamers. God will use dreams that are good, pure, and true. These men are filthy dreamers. You know, Satan always mocks and has the opposite of what God does. Yeah, think about that. He does. So these men are filthy dreamers. This means to be caught up in lustful thoughts that defile. The word means contaminate the flesh. And we can easily do that. We can defile our flesh by sexual sin in the actual flesh or even in thought, right? Jesus said to even look at a woman or a man with lust, you've committed adultery already. He raised the bar pretty high, didn't he? He did. And then Jude says, they despise dominion. What does that mean? Well, dominion is rulers or those, anyone over you. So if we take that literally, it could be government. It could be church authority like elders. It could be angels, someone like Michael. We'll talk about him in a minute. Or it could be God himself who is over us. And Satan himself rebelled against God's authority, and so does mankind over and over and over. So these men despise dominion. They despise authority. That's like criminals. Yeah, and pride comes in a lot. They want their own way. They see something they want, they just steal it. Pride. They don't think of anyone else. They don't love. They just do what they want. Kind of like beasts. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. We're also told in Scripture that we are to obey authorities until it causes us to sin against God. Acts 5:29. When man's law causes us to sin against God, we reject man's law. Peter said that clearly. I think we should obey God rather than men. But this is not the case with these men. These despise dominion. And it says they speak evil of dignities. Well, this would be, most people believe he's talking about spiritual beings, angelic beings. And this means they'll speak against higher powers than themselves, whoever that would be. And in this case, it would be angels. Why do I know that? Well, the next verse goes into it just a little bit more. Verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but say, the Lord rebuke you. All right, what does that mean? Well, let's take this apart a little bit here. Michael is a high-ranking angel. We know about that in Daniel 10:13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, sounds like Satan, and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So Michael seems to have power and authority above other angels that God has created and used for his bidding. And in Jude's description, Michael doesn't speak evil of Satan or that king of Persia. Yet these false men that Jude is describing all in his book here, they'll speak evil at will, showing who they really are in the heart. Hate authority, right? Slanderers, probably. Not a good example for us to follow. And then Jude tells us of a battle over Moses' body, right? It says he disputed the devil about Moses' body. Jude's talking about this battle over Moses' body, and we know absolutely next to nothing about this in Scripture. Some say, I'm just going to tell you what some say, there's a Jewish writing called The Assumption of Moses. Some say Jude must be alluding to that. Well, can't rule that out, but that's not an inspired Scripture, so we wouldn't even look to that for truth. And then some say he is quoting from Zechariah 3, verses 1 and 2. You can go read that. No, we can't know for sure, to be honest with you. We can't be dogmatic. What it does appear, though, is Jude is talking about there was some sort of battle with Satan over Moses' body for whatever reason. Remember, Moses wasn't allowed to go in the Holy Land. He went up on the mountain, disappeared, we assume died. And then Jude talks about this battle with Michael and Satan. Satan wanted Moses' body. Who knows what that's for? We just can't say. But we do know by Jude, there must have been some type of a battle. So that's all we can say. We can't speak any more into that. Remember, never go beyond what Scripture tells you and never add on to what Scripture does not say. The main point that we can know is that Michael, who has great power and authority, didn't bring accusation against Satan. This is the key point here to this verse. So this tells us these wicked men will speak accusations. Michael didn't throw names against Satan. We better be careful in our own ways when we deal with entities, including Satan. We know he's a murderer, he's a liar, he's an accuser, and he's going to lose in the end. We should just stick with that. And then we're told beyond that, resist the devil, James 4, 7, and he will flee. We don't rail against him. Scripture does not speak well of anyone that would do that, including these men that Jude is talking about, these false teachers. Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. All right, we talked about brute beasts. This verse 10 is saying these wicked men speak about what they don't know. What does Proverbs 17, 27, 28 say? He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted as wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs also goes on and talks about how a fool speaks of what he doesn't know. And don't speak before you hear a whole matter. That's not these men. These men are brute beasts. And they just speak and they just say stuff. Now, brute beasts, I mentioned it earlier. Jude mentions it here. Basically, that's like an animal. Not like a human. It's like they are humans, but they're acting like animals. So man is made in God's image. But imagine if man acts like an animal. What do animals do? They run on instinct. They're hungry, they kill and eat. They want something, they attack it. They're threatened, they kill and rip it to shreds. These men are brute beasts. They're living in the flesh, not even close to the spirit truth of God, character and nature of God. Peter mentions brute beasts too. Remember I told you, 2 Peter and the book of Jude go well together? 2 Peter 2, verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Yeah, sounds like almost a carbon copy, doesn't it, of the book of Jude. Notice they both mention corruption, Jude and Peter. This is a good point for us. Corruption is that which is going to rot and go away and be destroyed and be judged and be burned up. That's all corruption, things of the world, sin, flesh, all of that. But remember, as his people, what are we supposed to seek? And what are we supposed to act upon? The incorruptible. I preach this all the time in the streets. The corruptible versus incorruptible. Everybody's in the culture seeking that which is corruptible. Movies, sports, politics, entertainment, festivals, pride, vanity, position, money, fame. But we're supposed to seek what? That which is incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, a incorruptible crown. So when we go out and street preach and witness, we always get people telling us, don't you have anything better to do? And I always tell people, I got lots of other things I could do, but there's nothing better to do. God called us to seek the incorruptible. Why are you seeking the corruptible that will not last? Something for us to ponder. So these men that Jude and Peter describe, they're talking about brute beasts. They operate in their flesh. They're false teachers. They're probably slanderers. They will accuse and say things about dignitaries or those that rule over them. Peter talked about in other writings that we should honor the king, honor the government. Yeah, until it causes us to sin against God. Brother Paul talks about some people or men just like this. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit expresseth that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? Searing your conscience, that means you can't know the truth, right from wrong. You don't even know it anymore. And you don't even care. It's been seared. You're probably turned over. You turned yourself over. God probably turned you over. Peter talks about people like that Hebrews 6 talks about people like that that maybe have known the way, then they've turned away and it's impossible to bring them back. We can't know if these people knew the way it says they depart from the faith right there. So this is a good example along with Hebrews 6, people that knew the way and then they turned back. So Jude, Peter, Paul, they're all talking about these false men. So look around you, saints and seekers, if you're listening. This is describing, Paul just mentioned it, in the last days. It sounds like we're in the last days from what Jude is describing. Look at the false teachers and the wickedness that goes on and the corruption and the lack of seeking the incorruptible, which is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the truth of God, the doctrines of God, the gospel of God. Everybody's into man-made religion and their own ways and their own worldly ways and their own flesh and their own carnality. Yeah, we are in the last days, and it's good to know about these things because the Bible predicts it. What this should do, last thought, I struggled with this for years. When I was a new believer, all this stuff kind of depressed me because I would say, wow, the world's wicked. Wow, these false teachers are growing. Wow, this, wow, that I see in the Bible. And it used to bother me. You know what? I was in sin. You know why? I had the wrong viewpoint. I need to be looking at this saying, wow, the Word of God is true. Wow, things are coming down just the way the Father said they would. That should strengthen my faith, not trouble me. And I should be thankful, looking for our Redeemer to come, because all these things must come to pass. Go read Matthew 24. They ask Christ about what will be the signs, and he tells them, do not be troubled. All these things must come to pass. So all of these wicked, evil, false teachers and all of these things and events in the world must come to pass because the Father's predicted it. He's laid it up perfectly. It's all according to his will. Don't question it. He's God. You're not, nor am I. And so we need to accept it. We need to look for the signs. We need to rejoice and look for our Messiah's coming one day at the tribulation when everything else is all played out. We'll see him come and part the sky and come for his people. So look around you. We're in those last days, and it's exciting to read and study the Word of God. Jude's going to go on and tell us more about these false teachers, but we're going to stop right there after verse 10. We'll pick it up next time, starting with verse 11. I hope this is edifying to you. I really enjoy doing these. Check out don'tperish.com. Go to the gospel. Make sure you're following Christ in spirit and truth, that you know him. You're born of him. You're walking in his ways. We have all kinds of resources to help you. We love you in the Lord. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, the Lord lets me come to you once again. Go out and have a glorious day. Repent and obey the gospel. May God be praised.